couple of passages you turn in your Bible to, if you like. First Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. Paul said, "Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us." He writes the second letter, chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, finally, brethren, he says, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Talking about faith of the gospel now, not this doctrine. You understand what he's talking about here? Like Jude says, you know, in his letter to us, that that we earnestly contend for the faith. You know, faith is to be understood in two ways. Faith as a virtue, which you have when you come to Christ in faith, believing on Him, exercising. That's a grace that God gives us, faith. Faith. We don't have that. We don't inherit that naturally. It's a gift from God. For by grace you get saved through what? Through faith. And that faith is not of yourself, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's what we exercise when we come to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's given to us. It comes in the new nature, the new man, the new creature. It comes in regeneration when we're born again. And that's what Paul's talking about in both instances here. Especially he's talking about this when he talks about men don't. These wicked men that oppose the gospel, they don't have a concept, they don't have a knowledge of what you have and what he had and what he was preaching. And so they opposed it. And it goes on, doesn't it? It's always been there. It goes on and on and on. They opposed our Lord Jesus Christ because who he was and what he preached. And so those that follow Christ, those that identify with him, and are true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout history, are opposed by wicked men, by unconverted men. And primarily they're unconverted religious men. And we don't agree with them, they don't agree with us. Therefore, we have a constant controversy with those with men. And they're even among us. Jude said, he goes on and says that, you know, they've crept in unaware. They do. They creep into the church. They slip in unaware to it. They look good initially, and then after a while, it shows up what they are. Jesus warned of that also. He warned us very, very, very sternly about that. And this is where we're going to start. Now, we're still talking about Paul as a man of prayer. As a man of prayer. This is the third lesson and final lesson we'll have on this particular subject. We start here. Paul says, pray for us. Pray for us. King Arthur said this. King Arthur said, pray for my soul. He said, pray for my soul. Really stress this. Pray for my soul. He goes on to say, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. I believe that, don't you? And he goes on and says, wherefore, no, keeping that in mind, he says, let thy voice rise like a fountain for me night and day. Pray for me. Pray for my soul. For what are men better than sheep or goats? Brute beast that nourish a blind life within the brain, a blind life within the brain. If knowing God, they lift not up hands of prayer, both for themselves and for those which are whom they call friend. And so he says, pray for me. He said, for so the whole round earth is in every way bound by a golden chain, about God's feet. He called on him. We know he's there. If you know God's there, call on God. Lay hold of God. Pray to God. We got much to pray for. Take any and everything to God in prayer. And if you're in the light of the scriptures, then your prayers are enlightened, and therefore you're praying in the will of God. You pray according to this word, this blessed word. Again, Dr. Alexander White said, but that all-important matter of time, that all-important matter of time comes back upon me. It does. And will not let me go. He goes on and says, take more time to prayer, my brethren. He said, take 1 hour out of every 24. Or if you can't spare an hour, take a half hour. If you can't spare a half hour, he says, take a quarter of an hour. He says, and if you don't know what to say, to do or say for a half hour, he says, take that quarter of an hour. Take it from 8 to 9. 9 or from 9 to 10 or 10 to 11. Just take a little bit of that time out of those periods of time. Some part of it. He says, and if you cannot fill up the time out of your own heart, take David and take Paul. Been studying Paul, didn't we? He was a praying man. And I've encouraged you to take David. Take his psalms, their prayers. David was a praying man. So Dr. White says, if you cannot fill up the time out of your own heart, take David or take Paul. Or take Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He says, to assist you and to show you how to pray in secret. He says, for it is a rare and difficult, but an absolutely indispensable art. Pray. Pray. That's what we've been talking about, Paul. Oh, he was a great preacher, but he was a great man of prayer. I wish I could emulate him in that. More so in his preaching. You know, preaching sometimes flaunts the flesh, doesn't it? But prayer's a secret matter. The flesh gets no glory, gets no esteem, no admiration when it prays. No, when my spirit's praying those secret prayers, just talking with God and trying to listen for God to talk with me. Nobody but just God and me. Myself and God. Nobody going to get glory there, are they? But the Lord. Well, I mentioned Mr. Pink's novel on the Glennings in Paul. The Glennings in Paul's prayers is what it's all about. It's about 300 page novel. Or exposition, it's not really a novel, it's an exposition, his book. why I called it a novel. It's not a novel. It's a detailed exposition of the prayers of Paul. And in that exposition, Mr. Pink covers 33 of Paul's prayers. You have to go through and pick them out. I've got something I did for you down here, if you'd like to have a copy of this. I got these prayers sectioned off out of the script, out of the New Testament of Paul's. Paul had his prayer, we studied this in Romans chapter 1 in verse 8 through 12. A couple of sessions there where Paul, he prays and he praises. You got his prayer of praise. And then you have his instruction in prayer also in the 15th chapter of Romans, verse 5, 6, and 7. Then you have prayer and hope. Romans 15, 13. Prayer for peace. Romans 15, 33. Right? Prayer for insight. Romans 16, verse 25, 26, and 27. Then you have Paul encouraging us to pray for the weaker brethren. You have that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 through 7. And then you have prayer for concerning tribulation. We know what that is, don't we? Tribulation, troubles, trials. And Paul shows us how to pray concerning tribulation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. Then we have prayer in affliction. James talks about this. Is any man afflicted? Is any man afflicted? Pray. 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 Pray for one another, James says, that you might be delivered. Paul says, he teaches us in 2 Corinthians 12, in verse 7 through 10, how to pray in time of affliction. Pray a prayer of benediction. He teaches us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And then prayer of gratitude. He teaches us how to be thankful, how to pray when we're thankful. Find that in Ephesians 1, 3. Prayer for faith and knowledge, Ephesians 1, 15 through 17. Prayer for understanding, Ephesians 1, 18. Prayer for spiritual apprehension, Ephesians 1, 19 through 20. Prayer for appreciation of Christ's great triumph, Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 20, prayer of adoration, Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. Prayer for inner strength. We need that, don't we? Inner strength. Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 16. Prayer for Christ-centeredness. Christ-centeredness. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if everybody had Christ in the center of their life? Huh? Isn't it so much better to know that Christ is the center of your life? Everything encompasses Christ, surrounds Christ. He's the center. That's something to think about. Well, he prays for Christ-centeredness in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Prayer for comprehension of God's love. Ephesians 3, 18 through 21. Prayer of doxology. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Prayer for fruits of righteousness. Philippians 1 and verse 11. Prayer for discerning God's love. Philippians 1, 8 through 10. Prayer for a worthy walk. Colossians 1, 9 through 10. Prayer for long suffering. Colossians 1, 11 and 12. Prayer for joy and thanksgiving. Colossians 1:11 and 12. Prayer for brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11 through 13. Prayer for sanctification of young saints. Paul prayed that. He did that. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 and 24. Prayer for persevering grace. We need that, don't we? Pete talked about the occasion of it. And the importunity. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12. And then prayer for comfort and stability. We need that. Well, Paul prayed for it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 through 17. And then prayer for love toward God, 2 Thessalonians 3, 5. Prayer for patience. We need that, don't we? Pray for me. Pray for me as I pray for you. 2 Thessalonians 3, 5. Prayer of worship, 1 Timothy 1, 17. And also 6, 15 through 16. Prayer for worship. And then Paul, his last prayer, it seems to be. It's a prayer for Philemon, a beloved brethren, where the church at Philippi gathered in his home. He loved the church at Philippi, a small church, probably the smallest and poorest of all the churches that Paul founded, established. But he prays for Philemon, who had opened his house to the church. You find this in Philemon, verses 4 through 6. Again, as Mr. White says, if we find not an hour and 24, or a half hour, or a quarter hour, study David and Paul. Let them teach us how to pray. What we're to pray for. And let me finish up with four of Paul's most precious prayers, I think. His most precious prayers found in the letters to the church at Ephesus and the church at Philippi and the church at Colossae. Four most precious prayers. I say precious because inspired not only to the church at Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae, but they were inspired to the church down through the ages, all the way to here, tonight, to you and I. These prayers were inspired. Paul prayed for us. The great Apostle Paul, who gave us the gospel, prayed for us. Inspired by God, he prayed for us. He said in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 17 through 19, and I'm going to use the English Standard Version. It's just a little bit smoother, clearer. It's a good translation. Doesn't it all differ from, in context, textual message from the Authorized Version, but it's a little bit smoother. It says, Paul said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you spiritual wisdom. He prayed that for you, Jason, for you, Rod, for you, Amber, and Cheryl, and Shirley, and Nikki, and Tony. He prayed that for you, prayed that for us, way back there when God inspired him to write the letter to the Ephesians. He was telling them, I pray this for you, but he prayed this for the whole church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride, the body of our Redeemer. That touches your heart, that know that he prayed for us. Yeah, that we might have, that God might give us spiritual wisdom. I never will forget when I was in Bible college and getting closer to the time when we graduated. I had a lot of friends there, but I had one close friend who, he and I made a covenant with one another. We was going to go our separate ways once we graduated and left college. And he said, let's covenant, Terry. He felt assuredly, and he did, that God was calling him to the Ivory Coast of Africa as a missionary. And that's where he went, and that's where he finished up his ministry. Spent his life over there and wore himself out. Came home probably 10, 15 years ago with a severe heart disease, broken down. And I hadn't heard from him in years. I don't know where he's still living or not, but we covenanted together. And I said, well, brother, I said, I know you know where you're going. I know, I believe what God's calling me to. I said, he's calling me a pastor. I'm pretty sure of that. And I said, if I'm going to pastor, I said, I'm going to need wisdom. I'm going to need spiritual wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world, but I'm going to need spiritual wisdom. I said, pray that. I said, you know, we got ground for it. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him pray unto God, who give it to all liberally and upbraideth not. Doesn't fool around with us. He gives it to us. He's promised it to us. I said, so you pray that. Brother, I tell you what, if you try to pastor, especially in this day and time, you sure need a lot of spiritual wisdom. Couldn't handle nothing without spiritual wisdom. And without it, and sometimes I'm afraid that I didn't exercise it in spiritual wisdom, you make a mess of things. But with it, you accomplish God's will. But he goes on and says, Paul says, I pray the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in your growing knowledge of him. Spiritual wisdom and revelation. Boy, I've prayed for that, and I need that. I haven't ever ceased praying for it, never ceased seeing a need for it. Revelation. Lord, let me see more. Open up my mind and let this mind receive more and more of the book of God. This Bible is revealed to us. The word of truth comes by revelation. Our salvation came by revelation. And so we must understand him more and more as we read this book and as he reveals himself to us. And he prayed for that. And he goes on and says, since the eyes of your heart have been enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The wealth. We know a little bit, don't we? But to know the deep wealth of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the incomparable greatness of his power toward us. Incomparable greatness of his power toward you and I who believe. Now that was a prayer of how many? Should it be 18, 19, about 3.5 verses it covered in the first chapter of Ephesians. Anybody, that's a short prayer, isn't it? Ooh, my soul, but how deep is that prayer? How full is that prayer? And those things is what Paul prayed for us. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Here it is. I pray that according to the wealth of his glory, that is the Father's glory, may grant unto you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner person. The inner person. That's where we need this strength, isn't it? Where we need this power to overcome. and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that because you have been rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the width and the height and the depth, thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. No end to it. Surpasses knowledge. You can't reach it. It surpasses knowledge. The depth is unfathomable. The height is unreachable. The width is just on and on and on. My. The love of Christ surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Filled up to all. Bring what that is. To be filled up to all the fullness of God. My, so could we handle that? Could we? I've wondered about that. I used to, back when I first started as a young believer, and this, of course, was even before I felt God calling me into the ministry to preach His Word, working that time at Lockheed, and had a little study place there in that little redwood house on Newton Circle up there in Douglasville. And a little place just sort of to quarantine myself. I never will forget, Jason, there were times I'd be in just a passage like one of these prayers here, Paul's. And that thing become so overwhelming, I could not tolerate it. I felt like I was going to explode, and then I'd just have to leave it alone and walk out of the room and get away. I just didn't feel like I was going to be able to handle it. Power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit working. Working in me. And here's another one. That Philippian prayer, that church to the church at Philippi. Oh, I see how he loved the church at Philippi. Such a small number there. He just about could count them on both hands. And he calls them out by name. On one occasion, just about every one of them. But how he loved that church. It was so helpful to Paul. Matter of fact, the church at Philippi was the poorest church of all the churches, and yet they constantly wanted to take of themselves and give to Paul, take of their carnal whatever they had and give to the apostle. They loved him so dearly because he brought to them the life of Christ in the gospel. And matter of fact, he said that the church at Philippi was the only church that he received gifts from out of his own judgment. He wouldn't take anything from the church at Corinth, and it was a fairly rich church. But no, lest they boast, lest they pride themselves in what they did, Paul would not take from them. But he did take from the church at Philippi because it was a loving church. Loved him so dearly. But he prayed for him. In the first chapter 9, 10, and 11 verses, he said, I pray this, that your love may abound even more and more in knowledge and in every kind of insight, so that you can decide what is best. I want you to do this. I'm praying for that. He said, and thus be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and to the praise of God. I want you to have this, and I'm praying for you. And then that fourth prayer that comes out of the Colossian letter. Such a precious prayer. He says in beginning in verse 9 of chapter 1, He said, I ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may live worthily of the Lord and please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good deed, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the display of all patience and steadfastness, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. Yeah, that's his praying. That's how Paul prayed. Don't sound like our prayer meetings today, does it? It's good that we pray for one another. As I said, James said, pray for one another. We got afflictions, pray for them. Be sincere about it. But Paul prayed every prayer he prayed, as I've gone over these with you. And say, I've got you a copy down here. You can take them in as a devotion for your own self. Just take them just one at a time and meditate on it, study on it. He prayed for what we need more than anything in this world. And that's spiritual things. Understanding, comprehension, insight. All these things we need as believers, as professing Christians. We need these things. If we were filled with these things, as Paul prayed that we might be filled with these things, my soul, what an impact we may have on those around us. Your family members, your friends. We might cultivate these things. They're inspired. And they've already been... it's been put in prayer. They're ours. They belong to you, Jason. You, Cheryl and Shirley, Nikki and Tony, Amber and Rod, belong to us. God gave them to us through the inspiration to this great apostle. Thank the Lord for it. All right.